This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Oh, we had so much fun at our fish fry on Friday in the city. We're going to go to Cottleville on Friday. Hope to see you there. Knights of Columbus Hall. My friend Chris Smith will be there. Chris is the listener, the dude. He's a good friend of mine now that was shot in the head several years ago. They did a piece on 60 Minutes. Not 60 Minutes, what the hell? 48 Hours. Not 60 Minutes, thank God. That's the worst show on CBS. No, 48 Hours. They did in the spring. It was 3 years after he was shot. Chris used to call the show and became a part of my show when I was on KMOX. And then we became friends mainly because I weaseled out of a wager when he said, hey, Trump's going to win. And I said, if he does, this was in 2016, you can shave my head. I weasel out of the bet. We become friends. But then he was shot when the woman he was with, died the night before Thanksgiving up in Farmersville, Illinois. And that's what the 48 Hours piece was on. And that's what his book is going to be about. He's got a new book that's coming out. And we're going to visit with him on Friday afternoon at the fish fry. He'll tell you all about it. I know he's been texting me nonstop, bugging me about it all week. Let's see here. I even have the name of the book. It is called, hold on here, My Fatal First Date, A True Life Story of Survival, Tragedy, and Inspiration, Triumph, and Faith. And his story really is amazing. So that's coming up. Oh, Brian Kilmeade. Brian is less than 2 weeks away. It's the 22nd. It's a week from this Saturday night at the Factory in Chesterfield. Great, great venue. We are very close to a sellout, and we're probably even closer on the VIP experience. If you'd like to do the meet and greet and hang and see some of the folks from 97.1 FM Talk in particular, if you go to briankilmeade.com, you can get the meet and greet and the VIP passes, which is kind of fun. Right now, we have audio cut of the day coming up before the end of the hour. Our friend Josh Krasauer back with us to talk some politics. He's the editor-in-chief of the Jewish Insider. You see him on Fox all the time. It's been a bit, by the way. How are you?
Mark, it's great to be back with you. Spring training is here, baseball season right around the corner, and politics always in the news.
I don't know what you're talking about with baseball. What's that? We're not discussing that in St. Louis. I don't know if you've heard.
Well, you guys are so, you know, you've had so much success. It's hard to imagine the Cardinals not being the NL Central favorites, but we'll see this year.
Look, I'm telling you, there's a lot of concern here. And, you know, I think the hope right now is, and we are informed baseball folks, right? So we know it's going to take a little time, but my point there is the fan base is educated, but still, if you don't get something that's entertaining on the field, and maybe they will, you know, they could still even finish 500, maybe they'll exceed expectations. It's just that I and a lot of people, Josh, don't remember a year like this for a while.
Yeah, look, I mean, we as a Nationals fan, we had a World Series ring in 2019. Then the COVID pandemic hit. We never got to really celebrate it the year after. And we've been the worst team in baseball for the last 5 years. So I get the ups and downs of baseball or any sport. But, you know, like I actually think the Cardinals are going to be halfway decent this year, but we'll see.
Well, you know, they could exceed expectations. We're going to hope for that. Let's talk about the situation in the swamp. All right. Talk about a situation that's not the same as it has been before. What is just your overall feeling? Because I'm sure there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes where there's some uncomfortability, even maybe amongst Republicans. I don't know what you'd say about the Democrats right now, but how would you just assess the landscape 50, 60 days into this administration?
Yeah, well, look, the biggest difference between the first Trump administration and the second, this current term, is that Trump is not being checked at all, both from, certainly not from Democrats who are in disarray. But, you know, one of the defining features in the first administration, a lot of people use the word chaos to describe the first term. But in reality, there was a lot of debate and discussion and argument and amid that chaos, and some of Trump's worst impulses, like on tariffs, and foreign policy, I think were constrained, and actually there was good policy that came out of all that chaos. There's a lot less team of rivals, a lot more team of loyalists in this second term, and Trump has certainly affected a whole lot of change in the 7 weeks that he's been president. But look at the markets today and in the last week or two. You look at the concern among our European allies on his foreign policy, and you look at Canada worried about what the United States is doing with the tariffs and with these notions of making Canada a 51st state. I think that's rhetorical, but it's a strange approach. And there's a worry that there's not enough adults in the room, not enough people who can maybe have that debate, have a discussion that took place so publicly in the first term. You're seeing a lot more loyalists, a lot more people not wanting to have that debate in the second term. And it could lead to some problems down the road for the president.
Let's talk, though, about Friday. You know, I had my Reardon Roundtable Friday afternoon. We have a lot of fun here this time of year. We fish fry broadcast, and we had our first one, Josh. But there was interesting reporting that was in the New York Times that afternoon about a cabinet meeting that kind of blew up with Marco Rubio and Elon Musk kind of getting into it. And what my takeaway was, I'm interested in your takeaway. I was like, okay, good. I'm glad that this stuff is happening. Maybe I wish it was happening even in front of the cameras like the Zelensky stuff. But I guess the point of that was there's pushback by some of these cabinet members on Elon right now.
Yeah, so it's funny that you bring that up, because it's obviously one of the big stories of the first month. And you won't find anyone more than me that wants to kind of cut the bureaucracy, cut the red tape. It's not just waste. It's the fact that you can't build a railroad in California in like 10 years. And the degree that the federal and even the state governments are as inefficient as they are, as wasteful as they are, has been a product of government. It's only been getting worse over the years. You know, the problem is that it doesn't seem like there's a rhyme or reason in what Musk is doing, other than pretty much firing everyone who's got less than 2 years of experience, what they call probationary period for these government workers. And the problem is, and you saw this reported out from that big cabinet meeting last week, that apparently Musk is firing essential air traffic controllers that are trying to prevent air crashes in the sky. They had to rehire some of these nuclear regulators. I mean, so there's something amiss. Like there's a way. It takes this long to build up government. It'll take a little bit of time to actually find the bad people, the incompetent people, to pass laws.
Yeah.
Get rid of a lot of these protections in the civil service. But you can't do it overnight. And I think Elon Musk has this very Silicon Valley view that all you have to do is go into the computer systems and fire a lot of people, and that's going to solve the problem. It doesn't cut a whole lot out of the budget line, and it's certainly not making the government more productive or more effective.
My sense was, though, after Friday, and the takeaway from that reporting, I'm going to have to trust that it was accurate in the New York Times, is that Trump kind of gets that. And he even used the word, like, we're going to take a scalpel to this. So there might have been some, you know, let's burn it down and see what happens. And I guess maybe I could speak just for people who are pro-Doge right now. And I get everything you just said, and I have some, you know, certainly some concerns, and I'm not a fan of the tariffs at all. But one of the things that I think a lot of us feel is that none of this has ever happened before, Josh. And, you know, earlier in the show this afternoon, there's a story that's in the Washington Post. I talked about it in the monologue. I mentioned this to Ted Nugent today as well. The story is about how D.C. is going to have, you know, issues because they want to revert back to the 2024 budget. And that's $1 billion more in 2025. So when people look at that, we're saying, wait a second, we can't just raise our household budgets by so much when we don't have income coming in. They see how government operates, and they've just had enough of it.
Well, the first point I would make is that the biggest driver of all the government spending is entitlement programs.
No doubt.
And I think you know, the rubber hits the road where you say, well, can we raise the retirement age a year? And they can save a lot more money that way. And then the same people say, well, don't come after my Social Security. Don't come after my Medicare. So it's tricky because that's why it's easier to spend. Now, one of the weird things about government, but I always found unusual, my dad's a long time civil servant, and he retired recently, and I found it amazing that you basically had almost guaranteed protection. Your job was secure after 2 years. You couldn't get fired unless you just went so above and beyond, like, the rules of the job. So that's part of the problem. Elon Musk needs to – the only way you can really get rid of people in government is if they're less than 2 years of experience or were recently promoted, I guess, is the other exception. But it is very, very hard to fire incompetent people, and that's part of the problem. In any other private sector job, you know, if you're not good at your job, you're evaluated and you can actually get let go. But that's not the case in government. It keeps growing and growing and growing. So I'm sympathetic to the frustrations that government keeps growing and growing. And when a Republican president takes office, the best they can do is slow that growth.
Yeah.
At least that's the way it seems. Now, look, there are ways to you know, there is a legal and very institutional way of reducing the government workforce. That the Clinton administration, Al Gore was actually a big champion of this back in the 90s, but it takes years, three, 4 years for it to effectuate. So, I mean, Elon Musk does not operate under that time
period. No.
I don't know how long he's going to be in the White House. So he's doing it in a very, I would argue, reckless way that's hurting Donald Trump. That's hurting Donald Trump's political standing. And, you know, I know Sean Duffy, I know him over at Fox, and I think he's a pretty conservative guy. And he spoke up in this meeting that he's worried about air safety because of some of the cuts that Elon Musk wanted to make. And that gets my ears perked up.
Yeah.
And I think it's beyond just the government waste and fraud and abuse.
Look, there's some concerns. I would agree. And by the way, you won't find someone stronger than me on the preaching about the entitlements, because I've said this consistently through the last couple of decades, actually. And, you know, here's a guy, and you can appreciate this because you know that I go way back with him. But I was talking with a former member of Congress over the weekend, and Paul Ryan's a guy that's persona non grata in Republican circles or in, you know, MAGA circles right now. Well, that was a guy that tried to address the entitlements. And when Trump says last week, you know, $2 trillion deficit, we're going to balance, you can't balance that without cuts to the entitlements or without adjusting them. There's just no possible way. So I want honesty on that front in particular.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, that's sort of the tension, because that is actually what Trump ran against. There were all these kind of Paul Ryan types that dominated the Republican Party, even when Trump was president the first time, that were trying to pass laws that could restrain the growth or cut some of the entitlement spending. And that was not Trump's coalition.
No,
The new Trump voters actually wanted that. We're not like small government types, which is why it's unusual. I mean, you know, like, I think there's an ideological component to this, and there also may be a conflict of interest issue with Musk, because he has a lot of his company, SpaceX, along with Tesla, has a lot of issues before the government. And there is a conflict of interest there where someone this powerful, this wealthy, is also tied up in government to the degree that he is. But look, I think there's an ideological component too, where you go after USAID and all these, projects going abroad that may not be seen as useful or efficient from an average American's viewpoint. But I think where the rubber really hits the road is when you're going after services that Americans can appreciate that are valuable, like air safety, nuclear safety, even the parks, National Weather Service. There's some real, the cuts are going deep to the bone, and they're not being, I think you can cut a lot of staff and cut a lot of waste, but it doesn't seem like running an AI program and getting inside the bowels of government and just, willy-nilly in a few weeks, laying off tens of thousands of people is the most effective way of doing it.
Well, we're going to find out.
It's going to make the government more efficient.
We're going to find out. There's going to be pushback. And I've warned the audience about this because I do think that there's members of Congress that are getting calls about this. They'll continue to get calls. But let me have you address the politics of all this on the other side, because this is what you hear from the Democrats.
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk and his hackers don't know
to think that Elon Musk or Donald Trump give a about our public schools.
That kind of goes on, Josh, and you get the point. But that's something they think is going to be a winning strategy, right? Going after who they call President Musk at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Democrats, what was the line about the Palestinians, Yasser Arafat? They never know how to miss an opportunity. They never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. The Democratic Party is in disarray, and they've still, we saw this in the president's response or his speech before Congress last week, that, you have these far left Democrats that are acting, reprehensibly. They couldn't even, stand up for some of the more emotional moments. You don't have to clap for a lot of things, but there were some moments that should have been bipartisan ones, and they weren't. And you have these old line Democrats, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, shrieking in front of government buildings instead of actually talking about the things that are concerning that we just discussed on the show about some of the cuts and hitting too close to the bone. You have the most polarizing, unpopular Democrats standing before the cameras. Chuck Schumer, I think, was screaming and yelling. And these are the least popular. The party is just their brand is in the toilet. And look, they went. That's why Kamala Harris lost, is that she was so far to the left on social and cultural issues, so out of the mainstream, that the party was seen as an unacceptable alternative. And you look at the trans issue and how Gavin Newsom came out and tried to talk some common sense into the party, and they still don't want to take that lesson. This is the big challenge, not just for politics, it's not just going to be on the Trump side, but it's going to be whether Democrats can actually build that moderate coalition that can actually be a competitive party, or whether they are going to get further and further left and marginalize themselves, even though Trump may have his own issues. The Democrats have not shown themselves to be a serious governing party right now.
I'm going to take the latter for 500, Alex. That's what I would say, because I think a lot of the pundits even realize they're lost right now. Josh Krasauer, always great to have you on. I hope you're enjoying this new administration. There's never a lack of things to talk about, right?
It's keeping me busy, that's for sure. I almost forgot the last 4 years. But
all right, well, happy spring training, and we'll talk soon. We'll talk baseball and politics soon. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, Mark.
Get more at 971talk.com.